for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, save 50% off all window styles, plus a bonus 10% off and zero interest for 6 years. Book now at 866-90-NATION or at windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny's off today. Kyle Van Noy, he has had a big 2024 season for the Baltimore Ravens. He goes on weekly with Pat McAfee talking about various subjects. And here's Kyle Van Noy talking about a guy who was getting ripped by a lot of the fan base. Dean Pease came out of retirement to advise, and all of a sudden, Zach Orr, we're cool there, right?
Got to show love for Zio. Zio was, you know, getting rocked by the media and going through it for a little bit and just bouncing back, and us, you know, bouncing and staying with it and turning the page and then just clicking offensively, defensively, and special teams over these last 3 weeks, three games in 11 days. We won't talk about it. We know it's BS, but we did it. We went through it and we came out, and now we're leading the division, which is one of our goals.
Zach Orr, first year as defensive coordinator, replaced Mike McDonald, head coach at Seattle. By the way, Seahawks got eliminated from playoff contention with everything that happened yesterday in the National Football League. Bypassed Anthony Weaver in Miami. Denard Wilson in Tennessee now as they take over as coordinators. And Nolan, let's harken back to your thoughts going back to August, September, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe in the throes of 8 or 9 weeks of shaky play. Second Bengals game, Joe Burrow threw, what, 5 touchdown passes? And the Ravens still beat them because their defense is crap. But has your opinion of Zach Orr changed since, I guess, the Steeler game, the first one where they gave up the field goals, no touchdowns, and even in the Eagles game, they didn't get shredded. But since the bye in the three games crammed in 11 days, they've been rocking people's world here lately defensively.
Right. I mean, I think the most people's opinions of the defense or as the coordinator in particular have changed multiple times. Preseason, I was in the optimistic camp that, sure, you lost a bunch of coaching personnel, a few key players here and there. But for the most part, it was the same unit with the same core on-field leaders. Then there was no reason in my mind why they should regress. So when they started the season so poorly, I mean, we're talking worst in the league. Poorly and against the pass. So that was a huge shock. I didn't know if Orr was the guy because we couldn't put our finger on it. We didn't know why was this unit that, again, is so similar in personnel to the year prior when they were the best defense in football. Why are they now amongst the worst? And look, they've gotten better, as Van Noy just said. They stuck with it, kept it going. I don't know what the one key reason is. Is it really Marcus Williams and Trenton Simpson? Does it go beyond that, what they're doing different? But they are better now, and I think most people would agree at this point that Zach Orr has shown enough to say, all right, this is a guy that we're comfortable in for the time being instead of just being a one and done, and all right, we're looking for a new leader next year.
Marlon Humphrey said all along, the game plan is sound. We're just not executing, and there were some personnel changes, and Marlon's having his best year in 5 years. I mean, all of that contributes, I would think, to the equation. But, yeah, let's back off Zach Orr just a little bit. Now, getting to the quarterback, 11.5 sacks in his basically 29 games he's played with the Ravens. Got 20.5 sacks. His career high previously was 6.5 of the Pats back in 2019. So he's become Terrell Suggs here in Baltimore. And I 0.0 Dean Warmer chance thought he was going to eclipse 9 sacks this year. And he's blown that away with another game to go. But here's Kyle Van Noy talking about his success getting to the quarterback.
Just being around a group of guys that have been there for so long, just trying to help out as best as possible. And then for me, you know, I've always known I could do this. You know, in the last 29 regular season games, I got 20.5 sacks. It's just been able to be put on display now. I've just been able to focus on rushing. I've played multiple positions my whole career. I've had the green dot. I've played off the ball, on the ball. And now I can just focus on rushing the passer. It's been awesome.
Not that he's counting stats, by the way, but Kyle Van Noy, he has been a big surprise, and I would assume, Nolan, going to be one of the multiple Pro Bowlers the Ravens are going to have this year.
Right, he should be, and you know, you remember last year, again, the small sample size that he's been here in Baltimore, but you know, he's coming off the couch to give you 9 last year. Imagine what he could have given you if he was there, say, through the start of training camp, or at least there before week 1, probably add another sack or two to that total, so... Is it as simple as he just said there, that I'm finally in a position where they're not asking me to do the full, you know, outside linebacker workload and they just want me to get after the passer? Could be. I mean, you know, you look at his sack from the other night on Christmas, that wasn't him necessarily dominating the man in front of him 1v1, but they schemed up, you know, a little stunt or a twist or whatever they call it. Vinny knows the terminology better than me, but you know, Matabike
caught in a stack.
Right, takes the workload there, absorbs the contact, and Van Noy springs free. So you give Zach Orr some credit and you give Mike McDonald credit last year, but they're just using this guy's skill set, what he does best.
Now Roquan Smith did not get off to the greatest of starts here in 2024. Maybe he put on a few LBs, looked a little slower. He, along with the Ravens defense, was getting shredded. He kept saying, hey, this is only one game. Then it became like 6 games. He keeps saying the same thing. It never got better. But it's gotten better, as we've discussed, and he's gotten better. And here's Kyle Van Noy talking about playing with Roquan Smith and how that's pretty cool for everyone involved here.
Yeah, Roquan's the leader of the defense emotionally. He is special. I think he's 5 or 6 tackles away from being the fastest or second fastest player ever to 1,000. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's something like that. Similar to Ray Lewis when he played, where they just know football so well that they're able to take what they see in film, or not even watching film, but just look at what's going on, take a snap photo and be like, all right, this is the play. This is what they're doing. And it's been awesome to be a part of.
Hey, we're talking Roquan Smith here, who's a defensive player of the year level guy when he's at his best. First team All-Pro. Remember college at Georgia, he won the Buckus Award, so he's achieved nothing but individual success as a linebacker. And we go back, Nolan, real quick to Roquan maybe being a disappointing player early in the year as he and Trenton Simpson trying to find a vibe that never really clicked, quite frankly, as we're at this late stage of the season. But are we feeling more like Roquan is the guy we were watching wreak havoc a year ago than, say, the one we saw in, you know, early October, scuffling like everybody else?
Right, and it can't stress how important that is, because remember, the Ravens paid this guy. After they traded for him, they made the big effort to lock him up long-term, made him the highest-paid linebacker in football history to do it.
At the expense of Patrick Queen.
And, yeah, you look at the rest of this defense. Look, I'll go back to the Marcus Williams thing, but there's another case of a guy who you're paying a lot of money to that you're not getting any production from. You don't even trust him to play at all. You know, he's inactive the last couple weeks. So they were looking at a situation earlier this year where they had so much sunk money on this defense through Roquan and Marcus Williams that that was adding to the stress of why is this defense not performing. Now the guys that we're leaning on heavily the most, they're not even performing. But again, nobody's come out and said this for fact, but just watching this team from week 1 to where we are now, I think Roquan was maybe a little burdened by some of the shortcomings that were happening behind him. And he, again, he's the communicator. He's the main green dot guy. That he's worried about what's going on in front of him, setting up the D-line. He's worried about the guy next to him, obviously. But then you throw on, all right, now he's got to turn around and yell back to the safety, hey, what are you guys doing back here? Are you guys in the right spot? At a certain point, the secondary's got to take care of their own issue. They got to have their own leader back there. Roquan can't account for all 11 guys at a certain point.
Look at you. Is that Vince Lombardi over there? Is that Nolan McGraw? It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. We'll come back, buy or sell. Let's count the dough. Hey, Roquan got paid. We'd like to get paid. Let's see if we have any coming our way last 2 days of 2024. Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, will look at the schedule for Week 18, the crazy playoff scenarios. In his opinion, Is Cincinnati that scary team that nobody wants to play, assuming they get in and they need help to do so? And up on lunch, 1 o'clock, we'll look at our picks, and then we'll talk Ravens with Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner at 1:30. It's Bob Handy. It's Nola McGraw. It's only 2 days left in 24. Where'd the time go?
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney. 1057, The Fan.
Time's going on, world of sports, here on this Monday, December 30th. 2 days left, 2024. We're almost a quarter century in to the new millennium. 1999, people were losing their minds, thought there was going to be like a nuclear meltdown because of the computers switching, whatevs. But here we are. Made it through. Got the Ravens taking on the Browns, 4:30 Saturday. Ravens win. They clinch the North. They're 18-point favorites. Orioles lose Corbin Burns as he goes to Arizona. What's next for old Mike Elias and David Rubenstein trying to supplement their starting rotation, which needs help? Maryland basketball about to go out west, see what they're made of as they start this road trip in the Big Ten. They're banging on the door of the top 25. Can they break through over their next three games, which includes one against UCLA here in College Park next week? College football playoffs resume tomorrow. A lot of angst about that. Indiana didn't belong. SMU didn't belong. Tennessee did, but they sucked, so it's somebody's fault. And beat Boise State, the 3 seed. They're 11.5-point favorites against Penn State. So, there's plenty to get into. But right now, Nolan, we were talking about Roquan's money and Corbin Burns' money. He's talking about our money by ourselves.
All right. Well, we were all red on Friday. We're still red. S&P 500 down 47.74. The NASDAQ is down 177. DraftKings down 36 cents. Under Armour down 19 cents. When will it end? Somebody please tell me. Maybe tomorrow. You never know. As far as our sports topics, we'll start here in college football. A little bowl game action over the weekend. Miami quarterback Cam Ward. He only played the first half of the Hurricanes bowl game against Iowa State, throwing his 156th career touchdown pass in the process. That breaks the Division I record set by Case Keenum back in 2011. Now, after reaching that milestone, he was replaced by fellow quarterback Emery Williams. This was a pre-planned decision by Ward and the coaching staff. Now, as much as I hate to see a player disrespect the proud, long-standing tradition of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, this is nothing new in college football. Big-name players have sat out of higher-status bowls ahead of their leap to the NFL. But to chase a record, leave a game that your team went on to lose by 1 point, it's a little different. Buy or sell, Bob. Ward's decision should have been all or nothing. Either play the full game or don't play at all.
Buying it 100%. No half-stepping. Old term from way back when. I'm assuming Miami gave him a nice little NIL package to leave Washington State. So he went in there. Results of the game be damned. Let me break Case Keenum's record, who, by the way, is now doing Progressive commercials. I don't know if you've seen that one. And then I'm going to tap out and wait for the next phase of my career where he's expected to be a top five pick in the draft. We'll talk about this with Howard Balzer coming up in a couple minutes. So old me, which I'm old, so this is how I think. I think it's BS. But then again, it's the landscape of college sports. So does anything really surprise us anymore? But usually these guys look. Hunter and Sanders played for Colorado, and they got their asses kicked by BYU. So if they can do it, why not you?
And as far as chasing the record, again, you'd never deny someone to chase history.
Sure, but did you know who held the record?
No.
Neither did I.
And Dylan Gabriel with Oregon, he's got 153, and he's still got at least one more game. We think multiple games left to play. He's probably going to break the record or should break it as well. So what does it really mean? You get to be the guy for a week, two weeks?
And then we get to watch you as the camera pans to you the entirety of the second half in a game that you've lost in heartbreaking fashion.
Right. Camera's getting away from the Pop-Tarts. We can't have it.
And by the way, I don't want to keep getting away from your question. The best Pop-Tart's a cherry Pop-Tart. That's cinnamon.
Cherry?
Cream. Yeah, cherry Pop-Tart.
What the hell?
Michael Jordan of Pop-Tarts, just like cherry Slurpees and cherry Snowballs. The irony of that is I don't like cherries. I just like cherry flavor. Next!
I'm not going to waste any more. That's just, that's absurd.
Are you kidding me? All Come right. on. Don't knock it till you try.
Ugh, nobody's trying cherry. Anyway. Little NFL here. The Bengals and Broncos, they delivered a thriller on Saturday afternoon, needed overtime to be resolved, but some are questioning if the game should have really made it that far. Bo Nix initially found Marvin Mims for that touchdown in the closing seconds of regulation, and if you remember, the cameras caught him holding up two fingers, saying to his teammates, hey, we're going for two, we're going for the win right here. But during that lengthy replay review for the touchdown, they changed their minds, they kicked the extra point, they go to overtime, lose the coin toss, still had multiple chances to win it after that, they failed. Sean Payton says it was the right choice to kick the extra point and not go for two. Bo Nix says he held up the fingers in the heat of the moment, it was pure emotion. But Bob, buy or sell, the Broncos should have gone for the win instead of playing for overtime.
No, I'm selling it because, as you just said, they had opportunities to win in overtime. York missed the field goal. They got the ball back, and Cincinnati's defense stopped them, and they couldn't get themselves in a position to kick the game-winning field goal. And how about this? I thought Mims' catch was no catch. That ball never stopped moving throughout the entirety of the process. So I thought the TD that tied it was debatable.
That was one where it's like, you can't overturn this. Right, we got to this moment. I know. Rules say that you should, and the time of game should have no dictation, but just as an unbiased observer.
Yeah, how hot were Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor running when York missed that field goal, by the way?
Oh, my God. Does anybody want to win? That was my question asking. All right, we'll move over to the NBA here. Probably wrap up with this. The Kings, disappointing start to the season, no doubt. They're 13-19, but already deciding to fire head coach Mike Brown as a result. Coaching changes in the NBA, they happen all the time, so you're asking yourself, hey, what's the big deal? Another one got fired. Well, Brown was just named unanimous coach of the year 2 years ago when he helped Sacramento snap their long-standing playoff drought in his first season at the helm. Last year, they were reduced to a play-in team, but in terms of win total, only lost two more games than they did the year prior, so that's consistency. Again, only two seasons into his tenure, he's already gone. Buy or sell, Bob, the firing was Sacramento's way of already waving the white flag.
I will soft buy that. And let this be a lesson to you head coaches in the NBA. Don't win coach of the year because you're usually gone within three seasons after that happens. But we talked about it Friday.
We were here Friday, right?
We were talking about it Friday. They were, during buy or sell then, they were one of the big disappointments and have been of this season. So, not surprised, probably too soon. And the Kings got roasted for the move. Michael Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, who got fired by the same ownership group. He goes, no, I'm not. It's a classless move. Not surprising, though, given ownership there. So, yeah, they might have been a little quick on the trigger. They've had injuries. Fox has been hurt. I mean, Harrison Barnes left. They brought in DeRozan, who's had injury problems. I mean, they got two studs, though, in Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. And, you know, Herter's been somewhat of a disappointment when he does play. Now coming off the bench. Yeah, I think this is an impulsive move, and I don't know. Bad. Who's next? There's the question, because now the first domino has fallen. Somebody else is going to get whacked here soon, too.
Well, unless you're like Popovich, Spoelstra, or Kerr, I think everyone else is on the chopping block, it seems.
It's 58-81-057. The Fan will come back, talk some NFL, all of these zany playoff scenarios coming up for Week 18. Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer. We got a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw since we couldn't do it last hour. NFL lunch, feed you more football. We'll do our picks. How do we do over the weekend? Talk about tonight's game as well. Monday Night Football, Detroit at San Francisco. Detroit and Minnesota will play for the number one seed next week. Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, talk about the Ravens, how they're set up health-wise, and, you know, since he covers the Orioles too, get his thoughts on Corbin Burns going out to Arizona, where I guess the humidity is a lot better than, well, there's no humidity in Arizona, right? Isn't that the deal? It's hot, but it's not Baltimore hot. I don't know. What do I look like, Bob Turk over here?
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Hedy, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Hedy, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. Ravens take on the Browns this Saturday. 4:30 M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens win, and they are big favorites, 18.5. They win the division, second year in a row. So Lamar Jackson, something to shoot for there. Steelers, they will take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Steelers can win the division if the Ravens lose. They beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati needs to win and get help. And here to break down all of that and the fun stuff in between, longtime NFL writer. Let's welcome into the show. He's on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. He is Howard Balzer. Howard, what's up, man? Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and a happy new year to you and the family.
Same to you. Same to all the listeners out there as we get set to turn the page on another year. And here we are at the end of the NFL season. Seems like it just started yesterday.
Yeah. And what do you think of the flexing of all the games, essentially, in Week 18, getting these ideal matchups set up with playoff ramifications really pretty heavy throughout the week? Is this something that, you know, you're fine with? I know a lot of fans, well, I had tickets for this time, and I had tickets. Well, you know, it's not about what you want anymore. It's about what the league wants and how much money it's going to earn them. They get these decisions done themselves.
No question about it. And it's always funny when they say we have the fans in mind, but then they'll do things like that. And it's basically buyer beware, especially when you're buying tickets, making travel plans near the end of the year. You know, the really tough ones, if it changes by a day, well, you know, sometimes you should be able to live with that most of the time, but I get it. It can be a big hassle, but I mean, the whole flexing of the one week when they flexed the game to Thursday, that was kind of crazy. I think it was the Chargers, in the last couple of weeks, were supposed to play on Sunday, and all of a sudden it was on Thursday. And the Athletic had a pretty interesting story talking to a lot of fans that were really put out by it. But like you said, Bob, I mean, that's just the way it is. And they're going to – it's all about, as much as they care about, quote, the fans, they care more about the fans that watch on TV, because that's in the millions in terms of watching on TV. And so, you know, that's what it caters to. And they want to get the best matchups, like you said, on TV and in prime time and all those things. And so, you know, the last weekend of the season is a real juggling situation because they want to get games that are meaningful for the playoffs, especially the Sunday night game, where you don't want to pick a game that might have had something decided beforehand that also reflects who's ever playing on Sunday night. And it was kind of a no-brainer with the Lions and the Vikings. And then they put the two AFC North games on Saturday in terms of what that all means for the playoffs. So that's the way they're going to do it. And you just have to, you know, get used to it, like I said. And if you're a fan and you're thinking of doing something at the end of the year and you know you have it's a pretty good team, then you have to be pretty mindful that, again, at least in the last week, like I said, the only games that could be switched are from Sunday to Saturday or, of course, a regular Sunday afternoon game to Sunday night.
All right, Howard, MVP, get your opinion of this. The argument for Lamar, strong. Josh Allen, strong. Saquon Barkley, strong. Is there an argument for Joe Burrow, though, heading into the finale against Pittsburgh?
I don't think he would win. You can make the argument for it because the season he has had. But I think when it comes down to the definition, I think a lot of voters look at, quote, most valuable different. But when you're talking about most of the time you're going to pick a guy that's arguably the most valuable player on his team, but is most valuable in the league. And that comes down to how many games your team won. And even though it's not the quarterback's fault, in Burrow's case, that the team didn't win many games, that ends up being a deciding factor. And I went back, Bob, by the way, and looked at this and went back, you know, like two decades. And the average wins for the team that had the MVP is right around 13, the average wins. And the last 3 years, when there's been a 17-game schedule, it's right there. Two times it was 13 wins, and one time it was 14. And so that's kind of the way it's going to be. So you can make a case for a lot of different guys. You know, I tweeted yesterday after the, you know, the Vikings won against the Packers. I said, I don't hear anybody talking about Sam Darnold, and you could certainly make the case that he's worthy. But he's not a flashy guy, right? He doesn't run for a lot of yards and all that. The same with Jared Goff in Detroit. I mean, there's a team that's been decimated by injury on defense, and yet Goff has continued to play at a consistently high level and is second to Lamar Jackson in passer rating on third down plays this season. That was at least going into this, you know, going into this weekend. So you can make a case for a lot of guys. It's going to be interesting to see the way it plays out. But the one thing I laugh about a little is when you have all the betting odds, as if the betting odds mean anything, right? Oh, well, this guy's the favorite to be the MVP. Well, all that does is reflect what people are betting. And that's why the lines move. You know, all of a sudden some guy, his team, maybe he wasn't doing well early. Now he's on a run. And so people are going, oh, I'm going to bet for an underdog, right? Because that'll return more money. So all of a sudden, a lot of people bet on the underdog, and all of a sudden their odds go up because it changes when people start betting. And so I tweeted something about Darnold yesterday, and someone said, well, no, it can't be him. It's a lock for Josh Allen. And I answered by saying, oh, so you know what 50 people are going to vote? I mean, and he very well could win it. But like you said, you can make a case for Lamar Jackson. You can make a case for some other players. I do think Saquon Barkley will be offensive player of the year. And that's the trend in the voting, Bob, of MVP and offensive player of the year, is that the quarterback wins the MVP and then the best offensive player overall in terms of a running back or maybe a receiver, whoever, ends up being offensive player of the year.
Talking NFL with the great Howard Balzer as we're heading into week 18 of the NFL season. Now, offensive rookie of the year, got to be Jaden Daniels again. I don't have a vote, but how impressive or surprising maybe to you, Howard, had it been for the Commanders to get to the playoffs? Look, it's been a downtrodden franchise for the better part of 25 years, maybe even longer than that since Joe Gibbs left for the first time. But are you surprised they got in? And secondly, are they going to be one of these air quotes scary teams in the playoffs because of what they can do offensively?
Yeah, they could be scary. And I won't say now I'm surprised. I certainly wouldn't have predicted it before the season started because you just didn't know how Jaden Daniels was going to play. And that's always true of rookie quarterbacks, you know, similar to C.J. Stroud last year. Who could have ever predicted for a team that won whatever it was, you know, had second overall pick in the draft and I think had three wins the year before, and they end up doing what he did, and they end up, you know, making the playoffs. So, but now I'm not surprised because you've seen this the whole season. And the interesting thing about it is that, you know, there's certain narratives, Bob, that go around in sports, and they become, in my mind, lazy narratives because one person says it and everybody jumps on it and it keeps being repeated and repeated. And it was already being said several weeks ago about the Commanders when they had a little rough patch, not terrible, but they had a little rough patch with the offense. And the comments started, well, here it is again, Cliff Kingsbury, his offense, you know, he always does bad at the end of seasons. And so, you know, the Commanders are going down because this is what happens to Cliff Kingsbury throughout his career. Well, I guess we saw that narrative wasn't a very good one. And I always laugh at it because Zach Ertz signed with the Commanders in large reason because he had great respect for Cliff Kingsbury when they were both in Arizona with the Cardinals. But of course, we all know, Bob, that fans and so people on social media know more than the players who play for a guy, much less a coach like Dan Quinn, who hired Kingsbury because he had to face his offenses in previous seasons. So I'm kind of glad a little bit for Kingsbury because I think he got a raw deal and he gets a raw deal from a lot of people, but the guy can coach offense. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And we've certainly seen that with the development of Daniels and where the Commanders are right now.
All right, Howard Balzer, last thing for you. Who gets that last playoff spot in the AFC, Miami, Denver, or Cincinnati?
I'm going to say it's going to be the Broncos. I'm going to be very curious what the Chiefs do with their, playing their starters. Everyone says, well, I saw a note last night from Ian Rappaport where the Chiefs are going to rest their starters. Well, what does that mean? You have 22 starters. I don't think they're resting 22 guys, right? But the question becomes, do you play Mahomes for a half? Because let's remember one thing about offenses and being in rhythm. They're not going to play another game from the time they played on Christmas Day for 24 or 25 days, depending on if they play on Saturday or Sunday in that divisional round of the playoffs. That's a lot of time. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see them play some of their top guys for a half. But, you know, will they still beat the Broncos? Who knows? But I'm going to say it's going to be Denver. Cincinnati's going to have a rough one there. But you know, wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being Miami because of the opponents and all those things. So be an interesting week 18 in the NFL for sure.
Longtime NFL writer Howard Balzer, Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Howard, as always, appreciate your time. Happy New Year to you and the family, and we'll talk to you before the playoffs, if that's cool.
Oh, no question, Bob. Take care. Look forward to it.
You got it. Howard Balzer, everybody, covered in the NFL for a long time, doing it as well as anyone that's ever done it. We'll come back. Fun house with Nolan, time permitting. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll get to our picks. And then Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner. We're going to two birds it, if you will. Talk Ravens and Orioles with him tomorrow, or resume, I should say, tomorrow. And Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, talk Orioles and Ravens with him. Before we get to the fun house, let's get a phone call in here. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. We go to Woodbury. It's Joe. Joe, what's up?
You know what's up. My fruition is coming out. I'm still peeling that trophy off, you know, because, my best bet is Pittsburgh go to Kansas City. Like to say, who's going to get that last spot? I want Cincinnati in there. I want Cincinnati in there so they could go up there to Buffalo. That's why I'm saying that. But what I really call, Bob, is that last year the Orioles were in a playoff where it was 3 out of 5, correct?
Right.
How many did they lose?
3.
This year they were in a playoff that it was how many games? 3, right?
Best of
3. 2 out of 3?
Yes.
And then how many did they lose?
2.
So they lost 5 games in a row.
Right. They've lost 10 playoff games in a row. I'm saying they're 0-4 at home in the playoffs. 2 this year and then 2 against the Rangers.
Okay, yeah, they did have to go away to lose the other one.
Yeah,
and another thing, Bob, I called to tell you, strawberry Pop-Tarts are better than cherry.
Well, they're both better than that cinnamon thingy that was...
You didn't know a quick draw about the s'mores thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with s'mores, but no, Pop-Tarts, cherry's number one, strawberry's number two. Other than that, I don't know if I like Pop-Tarts.
I don't like them either. What are those other ones? Those crescents, or whatever. The Danishes.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're good. But other than that, man, I'm looking forward to next week's games because this week's games was good. Last night's game was the bomb. So the Ravens play first next week, and the Steelers and the Bengals play the night game. And I'm looking forward to ain't this something I'm looking forward to? Sam Donaldson and the Vikings beating the Lions to become the number one seed.
Right now, if the playoffs started today, the Vikings would be the number one seed, but that's all. That? Like Detroit, and I guess this would still be the scenario. Say the Vikings win. Lions are having the best regular season in the history of that franchise, and they go back a long time. They would be the 5th seed and have to go on the road to Tampa if the playoffs started today and if Minnesota beats them Sunday night. How about that?
Yeah. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, watch out for Atlanta next year, man, because I was rooting for Pennis because I watched a lot of Washington Huskies football, and he was a gunslinger, man. Sure. He is a gunslinger. Is he?
And that was a hell of a game, too, Joe. Last night.
Yes, it was. Kept us all up late. I was on the edge of my seat. But anyway, I just called to say good morning to Monday and say Happy New Year if I don't talk to you before next year.
You got it, bud. Here's Joe and Woodbury. Appreciate that. Got me thinking about Pop-Tarts, all this sports talk there. Nolan, we got time for a quick fun house. Maybe somebody will drive us to something to eat or no? Or you just want to comment, pontificate for the top of the hour?
We'll get the people's thoughts here.
All right, let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
It's nice and comfortable.
The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Really comfortable. Oh, the gun alive.
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
I'll let the people rip you for the Pop-Tarts. I mean, get that, okay. Get that
right,
in.
Hey, whatever. But you know, it's all a matter of taste, literally.
You're arguing with people that self-admitted don't like, I guess I don't like Pop-Tarts,
yeah,
is what
best
you said.
Pop-Tarts, that one. But I don't like Pop-Tarts.
Real Pop-Tart fans only. Okay. That's who I want to hear from. Right, don't give me this other crap.
And don't even get me started on Cap'n Crunch, which is the Michael Jordan of breakfast cereals, too.
All right. Bill in Bayview
no
says...
No Bayberries or Fruit Berries or anything.
Bayberries.
Whatever.
Well, Bill in Bayview says, I understand the angst in the O's inability to sign Burns, but they had very little chance of this being his choice. Fans have to accept the truth that Arizona was always his favorite. The coming months will be very interesting. Bill says he believes Elias will figure it out. And do you really want to spend all that money on a pitcher who's only going to go 5 or 6 innings a turn anyway?
Well, now we flip on him. And his K rate's been dropping every year the last 4 seasons, too. So he's a guy in decline. No, he's an ace. First one they've had legitimate on a good team since Mike Messina almost 30 years ago. It's tough to lose him. Where's plan B, C, D, E? Because they're probably all the way down the alphabet with that one. But as Jacob Calvin Meyer said earlier, Nolan, and as we talked about, reported over the weekend, Orioles were willing to make, and it's Bob Nightingale, a franchise record deal. Was that 4-5 for 200? You know what I mean? Was it going to exceed? I mean, there's a lot of layers to that one, too.
This texter here, talking about the price of pitching, says, did the Orioles really want to give an over-the-hill starter? He's not necessarily talking about Burns, but maybe other guys with ERAs around 4. Do you really want to give them in the $20-25 million a year range? Do they really want to give a 30-year-old with multiple recent elbow injuries 8 years? Guess he's talking about Freed. And did we expect them to lure Snell to the East Coast or Burns away from his family? It's okay to... be down about missing out on pitching, but the idea that it's been a failure on the front office's part this offseason is ridiculous.
Yeah, we're not even at the calendar year of 25 yet, so I'm not getting angry. Concern levels risen a couple of notches. I'm not going to lie about that. And if you go the trade route, which seems to be the best option, say you dance the dance with Dylan Cease, year from now you're in the same boat because he's in the walk year of his contract.
This texter here, Mike in Parkville, says, Grayson, Eflin, Sagano, and Kramer, pretty solid top 4 to get you through the season. 5 still up for grabs, but could be getting Bradish and Wells back at some point midseason. Mike here says they don't need a starter. What they need is more bats. I don't know about that.
Well, get you through the season. There's the phrase that has to be the most concerning. Can they get through the season? Can you pencil in 5 and expect every one of them to make their scheduled start throughout the course of a season? I mean, that's a tall ask. Again, we can go back to May, June, when everyone was getting healthy for the Orioles coming back from injuries. They have too much pitching. What are you going to do with all this starting pitching? And then they were all gone, just like that. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Open up. Rafinha football, NFL lunch style. We'll get to our picks. You want to join us for NFL lunch? We can talk football together. Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, talk about the Ravens and Orioles with him. And then another funhouse trip, maybe a more prolonged one, before Inside Access takes over too. And we have Monday Night Football coming your way as well. Yes, there's another game. Detroit taking on San Francisco. Rematch of last year's NFC Championship game.